Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. Well, do you take a siesta? What time do you eat dinner or supper? The question came to me because I've had a note on my email about why people eat dinner or their last evening meal so late in Spain. Well, particularly caught my attention because my sister is in Spain at the moment. I thought, well, I better take a look at this. And like usual, some of these things just lead to other places, other kinds of ideas. And so at the end here, I want to ask, how do you schedule your meals? Do you schedule meals? Well, I'll talk a little more about that. But Spain, it is assumed that countries take siestas because they're all hot. And so if you take a break at noon, you know, you close the shops, you go home, take a little nap, and it's going to get a little cooler. Well, according to the information I have, a siesta, that afternoon nap, originated in Spain. And why did it do that? Not because it was so hot, but for other reasons. So I found that very interesting and hope you will too. When we say late, dinner time in Spain has traditionally been around 10 p.m. That is late as far as I'm concerned. That's when most people I know are going to bed or already been in bed. So the reason behind this is that Spaniards have been living in the incorrect time zone since World War II. And judging by their geographical location, Spain should be, and they're in the same areas, Portugal, Morocco, United Kingdom, England, and would be running on a different time zone. However, Spain runs by the Central European time, putting it 1 hour forward. And why that happened? Well, Spanish leader General Francisco Franco established the change in order to be more in sync with Nazi Germany. So we're talking about World War II. So even after the war ended, clocks were never changed back. Spanish meals, work days, and even television programming were pushed 1 hour ahead, hence the later days. Is that going to change? Well, it is in the work. The prime minister announced that there are plans to roll back the clock so that it's more like the other European countries and abolish siestas. Do you think people will say, oh, we can't do that. We're all used to taking that siesta. Well, according to at least some research, that's probably not going to be a big deal because they found that less than 18% of Spaniards nap regularly, while nearly 60% never take a siesta. So that probably is not going to be a big deal. They even have a committee, National Commission for the Rationalization of Spanish Schedules, is working to get that changed. And they said if the sun will rise 1 hour earlier, you know, on the clock, the sun isn't actually changing, and we'd wake up more naturally, and mealtimes would be 1 hour earlier, and we'd get an extra hour sleep. So that's in the works. But for a lot of us, changing the habits, changing basically the culture, doesn't just happen by some commission saying, okay, this is what we're going to do, because we have, those habits are very strong. So it'll be really interesting to see how those changes go. And perhaps they've already made the change, and I'm sorry, I did not check on that. But if they have officially made the change, it'd be interesting to know how much businesses and others are following that change. Well, as I said, that seeing that article just led me to some other questions. Siesta, as I said, there are a lot of countries that we just assume that they're going to be taking siestas, and mostly those are Spanish-speaking countries, including Mexico, Costa Rica, Ecuador, and that all started in Spain. So where does the name siesta come from? Well, it translates in Latin to the sixth hour. So since dawn is traditionally the beginning of the day, the sixth hour would consequently be around noon, which is a great time for taking a siesta. And maybe some of us take siestas now, but we call them power naps. So how times change. Well, back to the question. In your family, do you have breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Do you have breakfast, dinner, and supper? Or do you have none of those? Maybe it's just eat when you can, what you can, according to the basketball schedule or the soccer schedule or somebody's work schedule. And so it's not something that is a very set kind of thing at your home. But for some folks, that's very a set time. And growing up in my home, I guess very rural, I don't know if it was necessarily Swedish or Danish or whatever, but there was breakfast, and then there was a noon snack, or excuse me, a morning coffee break with something to eat. Then there was the noon dinner, and then there was an afternoon break. And for a lot of farmers, that was a really important thing to do. But it, then everybody just, you know, you couldn't just have a cup of coffee. You had to have something sweet to go with it. And then, of course, supper. So it's just interesting how those kind of things come along. Well, in various countries, those breakfast, lunch, and dinner are probably the major times when people eat meals. But when we look at other countries, there's other kinds of meals and kinds of things served. So if you eat breakfast, you probably have a certain kind of thing you eat. It may be very simple, a bowl of cereal. But for traditional breakfast, you might have eggs, oatmeal, sausage. You know, who knows? It might be much more than just a bowl of cereal. Well, some folks have a second breakfast. And that's, I guess, kind of like that rural tradition. But it is traditional in Poland and in Hungary. And there are special dishes that are made exclusively to be eaten during second breakfast. And then there's brunch. And that's a combination, of course, you know, breakfast, lunch. That's a pretty much American kind of thing. And people, some foreign visitors would say, what is that? And the timing is not what they would like. So it's become, though, I think in the United States, it's more a special kind of thing, not an everyday. Usually brunch I think of as being probably on Sunday. Then there is something called elemensis. It's also called morning tea. Again, that break between breakfast and the noon meal. And then we've talked about lunch, the midday meal, varying in size depending on the culture. And again, what people are doing. That sometimes is the biggest meal of the day, but I think most places in the United States, that would be a lighter meal, perhaps just a sandwich, something like that, with a bigger meal at the end of the day. Okay, we talked about tea and high tea. That's mostly related to England. And afternoon tea is typically about 4 o'clock and is a pretty light meal, such as small sandwiches or individual cakes or scones. But then there's high tea. Does that mean you have a lot fancier stuff? Well, it could be, and it's probably more because that's usually eaten in the early evening. It would be more like our last meal of the day. As we've mentioned, supper is a light meal eaten in the late evening, as early as 7 or as late as midnight, and usually eaten when the main meal of the day is taken at lunchtime or high tea. So again, you know, how does your family fit into that? What do you call these various meals? And then dinner, most significant and important meal of the day. I guess no matter when you eat it, dinner still seems to be the most important meal of the day if you follow tradition. So historically, in British culture, dinner was taken at midday for children and manual workers, and in the early evening for office workers, and in the late evening by the wealthier elements of society. So it might be quite late in the day. So culture certainly determines when we eat and what we eat. Just a couple of notes, a couple of things when we're talking about what. Some American foods that people in other countries say, what is that? Marshmallows, corn on the cob, pumpkin pie, grits, and hot dogs. Those would be some unfamiliar foods. So again, I ask, where do your habits come from? Do you have any eating habits, or is it just kind of catch-as-catch-can, depending on what you happen to be doing on a certain day? It certainly does affect our nutritional intake, as well as I think our psychological kind of feeling about how life is going. So whatever, until next time, here's the thought. Food is a central activity of mankind and one of the single most significant trademarks of a culture.